check it out. And so you see the finished product. You see the lobby and the cafe and this room. And so you caught us at that point. Some of you have been driving by this piece of land for years and years and years. And you saw the dirt start moving. You start to see the building go up. And so there's something, and you're like, man, something's happening. And then you heard that it was a church, and that's why you're here this morning. Some of you came to our church or the theater or the Broad Street School. You knew part of the journey to get to this place. But I can tell you that it's been a journey. It started 10 years ago when we started the church, and about 3 years in, we're like, well, we probably should think about having or planning for a new building, a place to call home. And so we're like, well, we're a small church, limited resources, and so we pictured in our head what those resources and our people could do. So we started planning. We're like, we'll never be able to build a brand new facility because it's way out of our price range. We started looking around at various places that were available, different church buildings, different retail places, commercial places, and nothing seemed to fit. Well, we were looking at different things. This property, although it had been on the market for 10 years, was there, and the price came down to a place that we could finally purchase it. So we have this phrase here, only God stories. There are certain things that only God can do. Like, you can't explain it away. You can't say it was an accident. There are certain stories in our lives and certain stories in our journey that are only God stories. Like, we can only say God only can do that. And the story, this place, this land, one of those stories. And I'm not going to get into it. We'll talk about it another time. Some of you have heard that story. At the end of it, we bought this land, this 8.5 acres, for about $15,000 after it was right off the highway. Just an only God story. And as we were journeying through, dreaming about what that building would look like, we're like, we had our picture in mind. But I can tell you that God had a completely different, and the picture was not necessarily the building. I think the picture was a picture of this weekend. Friday night, we had in this room, the chairs were taken down, we had bunkers set up, and we had some young people running around. I better use the politically correct term. They were tagging each other. All right, so if you want the non-politically each other with laser tag guns, just tagged each other. And they knocked each other out. They were this room where they were doing that. On Saturday morning, we had inflatables set up in here, kids, sliding down. We had messes going on in one room and race going on in another room, food in another room. And then we get here this morning, and our picture was this, us worshiping together, opening it to our community and saying, hey, welcome. And God had a dream of this place. God brought different people along in the process. And so as we applied for a grant, we got a grant for $400,000, which allowed us to build faster and bigger than we thought. And so we started meeting with the architect, Andy Harding, AJ Architecture. Did I say that right? Close enough that they can see your website, I'm sure. As we started meeting, and the truth was, I was looking at Andy, and I don't know if I can trust him with what we want. And as I was meeting with him, he created a place that was us. You know, the relationship and the all-purpose space and children's ministry that are lively. And so we discussed this month after month, and as part of our story, part of our journey. Then we had the site work people come in, and you start seeing dirt moving, and I don't think there are any of them this morning, but got to get to know them. It's not just about the building. It's about the people that we're building this with. And so got to know them. And now, this morning, we have many of the people that not just built the building, they put their blood, sweat, and tears day after day into this facility. And I just want to stop for a moment, and I know they probably like this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Those that worked for Belafacia or some other subcontractor painted, maybe Roger, I just... I want to thank them for building this. Because you can have a seat. I don't embarrass you too long. But also know that as you're working here, that our people were paying for you. Not just for safety, but also for families, for your lives. Just so you know that you are a big part of why we're here today. Thank you for all that you have done. And so now we get to be here and get to be part of this community through all the work that they have done, all the work our people have done, and we're so grateful, not because of the journey that God has had us on and just how faithful he has been and how good he has been. Stories that, journeys are never easy. I have seen these guys in here problem solving, brainstorming. I'm sure I have frustrated them a time too with my problem solving or problem pointing out ability, but God has been good. We're just so grateful to be here. And I have a friend who's here, Dave Williams. He is with the Eastern Region Church of God, and he's part of the denomination that we're with. And he's going to pray our dedication over our new home.
It is great to be here with you and to be a part of this journey and just to share with you in a small way and to give blessings to you from our God and from the Eastern Regional Conference. Just a little information, the Eastern Regional Conference is 105th church in the south from Charlotte to the north. The Cape May, and most of our churches are in South Central PA, started in Harrisburg, and that's where most of my work is done. The only church we have in New York, okay? We're in the process of planting one in New York City now, so you're it. Apply, all right? We need more here. I need more reasons to come here, all right? And it was just a pleasure to be with you here 11 years ago. We met, and I believe it was in Kip's living room. And in your home there, and just gather with some people, and one little young girl who happened to play, a trombone back then, ain't? No? Something different. All right. But she's. Let me pray for you. God, you are so good. You are that good Father. And it's such a privilege to be called your son, your daughter. Know that you're loved by us. You love us so much. I thank you for Gina, for their family. I pray blessing be upon them. The other leaders within this body, strengthen, encourage them, lift them up. It is so good to celebrate this day, what you have done, but it's to look forward to what you're going to do in and through the multitude of people who have gathered this day. Some judging, some are just still questioning. Lord, we all have those struggles inside of us. So Spirit, just speak to them, speak to us, use us in mighty ways to touch people's lives. We can find hope in you. That truly, Jesus, is where life is found. May we bless you because you have blessed us with so much. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
I was about 16 years old, and I was on a mission trip. And one of the idea of the mission trip was to do work projects. And so we were at a camp doing some work projects, and they said, we want you to paint these cabins. And so they gave us the paint. In fact, before we painted, you had to scrape, which if you wanted to job ever is scraping paint off a building. And so we took the scraper, and they said an interesting phrase that I have remembered since that day. They said this: we want you to start with the political sides and then do the rest later. And I'm like, what is that? What is that about? And so I leaned in a little bit, and I was like, what are you talking about, doing the political? I said, we want you to paint the front that everyone sees, the political side. And then we'll get to the other sides that no one sees later. And I thought that was a very interesting thought of us being showing a political side. So years later, probably I was working in college, I was at a restaurant. You know how you go to college and you have to pay your way through college. And so you find jobs. I was working 11 to 7 restaurants. Okay, well, that's a very nice way. I mean, I'm being generous by saying restaurant. They served, I can't even say food. They served something that people ate. And I actually went to that restaurant, I'll just say restaurant, often. I enjoyed that restaurant. It's a place where college students would go because there's no place open. So you can probably maybe narrow it down. I'm talking. And so I don't want to give it away. And so, you know, I enjoyed going there, enjoyed the food. My friend enjoyed hanging out there. And so I thought it would be a good place to job. And so I did. And also, I noticed that the backside of this restaurant was not so appetizing. They did a great job up front. Like the color, the commercials on TV were great, you know, and they made you hungry. They made you want pigs and sausage. And the cleaning, the chairs and the floor was nice where people saw it. But if you went past the swinging doors, my view changed of that. Like, I will never eat their sausage again. It just sat there too long. You know, like it wasn't, they did a very good job on the political side of things. But when you got behind the scenes, it was a totally different experience. And so I'll never really eat there again if someone makes me. You know, we went through this period of time called the election, And so you'd see this political playing out, this political side of things. So one candidate would stand up and say, this is why I'm great, this is why you should vote for me. The other candidate would say, that's their political side. That's the way they would say, this is who I am, this is this painting. This is why I'm so good for this country. The other candidate would say, but do you know what's behind the scenes? Do you want behind the political stuff? Let me just show you, because I'm very loving and caring, and I care for the person so much that I want them to see their pain. Let me just point out their issues, their real, what's really going on below the surface. There's a phrase that they use in that realm called political spin. You may have heard of it. So what they try to do then is they'll hear something like, how do I spin this, make it sound the best I can? Because we care how people see us. You know, this is not in the large scheme of things. We do this. Yesterday, we were celebrating the third birthday of our daughter. Third birthday, three. Terrible twos plus one. So let's picture that. And so I get a call at about 12:30, or I call my wife. I'm like, hey, I'm at home. Do you need anything? And one of those conversations where you're like, she didn't have to say anything else. The first word that I knew what was happening. And she was, birthday party house, and I knew that the political side of her, it was coming out, and like she wanted her house to be fixed. She wanted the toys to be put, no dust in. She wanted the house to look good. And you 3-year-old daughter or son, you know that cleaning while you have a 3-year-old getting toys out is a tad frustrating. And it's a mess everywhere. And so what you end up doing is you throw everything in one room and you close the door and say, no one goes in that room. So you understand, we are like that. We want to portray one thing, but behind the scenes, there is something there. You know, we go to dinner. Did I say we have a 3-year-old? We're going out to dinner. And so we go out and we just want everyone to say, now there's a nice, happy, large family. And so, you know, just sitting there, cutting their meat, having a conversation, no screaming, no yelling, no climbing, under the table, over the table, through the table, around the table, you know, all that. And sometimes it happens that way. Say we have a 3-year-old, you can't control them. When we're home, do you understand? That's not our restaurant, us, home, us, and our two different things. There's the political side, and then there's the real side. Just so you're aware. This morning, we all are probably concerned with the pulse we want people to see. We have this image that we want them to look at us on. We have this, like, I have either, I am happy, or at least I'm not unhappy, or at least I'm only unhappy type of look, you know? And so you have this kind of, you're coming in, and yet I know that at least for a few of you in here, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than what you're painting your picture at. For some of you, you're walking in and your spouse has either left you or is going to leave you, and you're carrying that in through these doors and be like, I'm looking like all together, but I'm on the verge of breaking apart. For some of you, you're coming in this morning and you're making yourself, you sit down and you're making yourself look like you have everything together, but what you're thinking is, you feel like you ever played Jenga, big block game, and you can pull, like your tower is standing, but in the back of your mind, you are thinking that one block that's pulled out and my whole life comes tumbling down. I'm this close from losing all of it. The part that you want people to see, and then there's the reality of what's going on inside of you and going on around you in your space. We're being political this morning. And our series is called This Is, and I want to tell you, that we, as a church, we kind of do. Our building is part of that. We wanted you to see certain things. We wanted you to experience certain things. We wanted you to enjoy the coffee and enjoy the view of that lobby. We wanted you to come here and worship and enjoy the large screen, the comfortable chairs, and all the children's ministry. We wanted to create a view of things that's, man, that church is welcoming, that church is at home, that feels, but isn't there part of you that your BM meter is flying if you're first time with us? Isn't there part of you that's like, I know churches. I know Christian people. And I know the more I get beneath the surface, the more I see behind the scenes, that they're doing a great job painting a picture, but I know below the surface, there's a lot of junk in it. And I'm going to say this. Yes, there is. This is us. You make our church is about a building. It's not. You may think church is about a pastor. It's not. You may think the church is about our programs, what we're doing Friday, Saturday. It's not. Our church is about us. I have something I want to share with you this morning, and I just want to explain real quickly who we are as a church, our hope, and then what we're about. Acts 4:13 says this. When they saw Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. Let me just give you a little background. Peter and John are disciples of Jesus. They had spent 3 years with Jesus. They walked around with Jesus. They hung out with Jesus. They learned from Jesus. And Jesus was crucified, and then he was taken up to heaven. And so they're by themselves. And they're seeing some only God amazing things. Like they're just, the book of Acts talks about the things that's happening in this early church. And as from the outside, we're looking at Peter and John, these two guys. They noticed something. They said they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Can I just tell you how we are ordinary? We are average. We're special. We are just people. We are ordinary. Can I just even lean in a little further with that? That if you, what I love about the Bible is that God in his wisdom said, I'm going to paint just the political picture. I'm going to give you the whole person. So we David, all right? You know, David killed Goliath. You know, we like David guy. Man, if my kids could be anybody, I hope they're David. I hope they're not. Because David, who killed Goliath, who became king, was also probably a sexual addict. Woman after woman. In fact, he was so addicted, he slept with another man. In fact, he was so lost that the woman he slept with, he ended up killing her husband. This man after God's own heart. Maybe you're thinking, well, that's David. I'm sure it's not other people in the Bible. Noah, you know, Noah, maybe he sang the song in Sunday school or something. Noah, the one that built the ark, the one that saved the people. He got off the boat, and he became a drunk. He drank. He was a drunk. The disciples. You know, I could go on. Like, the Bible paints a picture that they were extraordinary, but they were also buried. When you get closer to us, if this is your first week, you're like, as you lean to us, can I tell you what you're going to see? You're going to see broken people who struggle times, who have wounds in them that may not look the part, that we're not perfect. But listen to what they were astonished that they were unschooled ordinary, but what set them apart was they had been with this guy named Jesus. And kind of that's what we are about. We are no ordinary people, broken people, but our hope and our goal is that we just hang out with him, Jesus, who is a God who changes people. He is transformed. He takes ordinary and less than ordinary and extraordinary. He takes people who should be thrown out and, no, I want to use you. He takes murderers and turns them into kings. He takes people who persecuted the church and turned them into the leader of the church. He is a God who takes ordinary things, broken things that we hide from. He says, hey, I don't care about your shame. I don't care about your past. I want you to experience something. And so John 10:10, this is the second part of the verse. This is what we're going after. This is what we're pursuing as a church. And if you're a church, you know that I go to this. This is our theme. This is our my life verse and over ministry. So you'll hear this over and over and over again because this is what Jesus is all about. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Out there for a second. You can look around our world and see that very thing lived out. There is brokenness. There is death. There is vin. There is life that are in chaos. There is crumble. There's the Jenga pool all over the floor. The thief is coming to kill, steal. In fact, some of you are in here and you have experienced that very, I'm pointing back to you, that very verse in your life, that you have been stolen from, have been, your life has been destroyed in some way. You're experiencing that trouble all around you. The thief coming to kill, steal, and destroy. There's someone trying to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. So, but this is what Jesus says. This is what he goes, I have come. Jesus has come that you may have life and have it to the full. That's what we are about at Higher. We want to lead people from rubble to wholeness, from emptiness to a flourishing, from a lack of peace to having a peace in the midst of chaos. We don't want to bore you. We want you to experience life. We don't want to legalize you and make you follow rules. We want to free you so you experience life as God designed it. We're not about having you attend and succeed. We want you to live life more abundantly or to the full. And do you see where that comes through? It does not come through our effort. It comes through Christ. That's what we're about. We believe that there is only one way towards life. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way. Later in Acts 4:13, in this chapter that we read earlier, he says, this sin is found in no one else. Let me change the terminology a little bit. Fullness of life, abundant life, is found in no one else. There is no name under heaven by which people can be saved besides Jesus Christ. And so our goal as a church is to help people go from rambles and wandering and whatever people are in at that moment. We want to lead them to something more. That God has something more. That this God who created the world also has plans on your life. He's to do amazing things in and through you. And he wants to change and transform you. That's what we're about. We're about imperfect people, broken people, on journey with Jesus to lead us to life. And so spend time with us. And can I just invite you to be part of that journey with us? You know, you may want to just check us out. Check Jesus out, Lord. Come and see who he is. Come. You're just asking questions. But here's what I want to ask you. Isn't it worth to at least ask the question? If there was life out there, an abundance of life that God has planned, both eternally and today, isn't it worth at least searching to see if this Jesus is true? This Jesus is real? This Jesus is really God? Isn't it worth at least asking the question? And we want to give you a ask the question. We want you to feel like you're home. We want you to feel like you're at your dinner table with the kids crawling. Life is a mess. Food's flying. Drinks are dumping. You're home. We want you to be able to say, hey, I can buy here. I don't have to put on a facade. I don't have to hide my tattoos. I have to take off your earrings. If it's or ladies, I guess. You don't have to be somebody else. We want you as you are. Just see who Jesus is. This is what we are all about. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this call home. We thank you for the beauty of it. We thank you for people who have worked on it, put their effort into being a place for us where we could do this. But God, I believe that you do a work here, that you show up in powerful ways, that in the midst of wandering, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of pieces falling around, maybe in the midst of just going through the most of that people may find. And so I pray that people will find a home here, a place where they can just find sanctuary, find rest, and mostly find you. Just thank you for all that you are, the God stories that you have for us, and we look forward to what you have planned for all of us. In Jesus' name.
Please stand with us.